Hello, friends, and welcome to Grits. And the gospel on this Pentecost Sunday, a day where I get my red shoes out of the top of my closet and wear them in celebration of the fire of the Holy Spirit and the hope that it brings to us all still today. I hope that you have had a wonderful week and that you are prepared and will prepare your hearts for worship today. The Lord be with you and also with you. Today's Old Testament lesson comes from the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, the first 14 verses. Hear now the word of the Lord. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to the bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there was sinew on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, 'Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their own feet, a vast multitude. And he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and I bring you up from your graves, O people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we hear these words, let us think about what we believe and who we believe in and why we believe it. Let us say together the Apostles' Creed as we put those words to breath. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you today, humbled by the magnificence, and sometimes unimaginable things that are a part of your being, that are manifested in our faith, and that are brought to us in new and different ways. Help us to be open to the words of your prophecies, that we may be open to the things that you have in mind for our lives today. Hear now the words that your Son, Jesus Christ, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Here now today's scripture, which is actually from the, it's written by Luke, but in the Epistle of Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 21, as we look at the moment of Pentecost. Hear now the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered together and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they said, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from both Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in these days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Ezekiel. Wow. Then Luke writing in Acts and quoting the prophecy of Joel. Jeez. If you've never read Ezekiel in full, you know it sounds a little, I don't know, out there. Literally, flying chariots and celestial beings abound. And then there's the passage for the lectionary today. One that, in a way, looks forward to the day of Pentecost. And of course, my brain immediately went to that great cinematic masterpiece from 1988 by Tim Burton, Beetlejuice. Hear me out. As a child of the 80s, this movie was totally different than anything else I had ever seen. Just like Ezekiel and the Pentecost text are not like anything else in the scriptures. I don't like scary movies. When I was a kid, the witch melting and the monkeys flying in The Wizard of Oz scared me to death. I still don't like to watch that movie. So Beetlejuice was the first time I had seen this kind of far out afterlife scenario depicted. If you're not familiar with the movie, a couple, Barbara and Adam, die in a car accident, and they are bound as ghosts to their house. A family of gothic dressing elitists, mean people, move into the house and plan to change the house and make it into what we down here in the South would clutch our pearls and call a monstrosity. The couple goes down to the underworld to get some help scaring the family away and end up with Beetlejuice, played by the amazing Michael Keaton. I'm sure the bones that Ezekiel saw in his prophecy were much better looking and more properly formed than the people in the movie, but I just cannot get that picture of the bones being raised from the dead to look anything like, anything but that hodgepodge of characters. You know, prophecies are a funny thing. We don't hear too much about them anymore. We tend to see people speaking in tongues or having strange dreams as, well, strange. But at the time of the writing of these scriptures, they saw these prophecies and dreams as a way that God was communicating with them. They were something to interpret and study. And as we see in the New Testament, a lot of them may not have made sense to the people who received the prophecy, but even centuries later, they are made clear to the people who get to see them fulfilled. What I see more than anything when I read these crazy passages is a willingness to be open to whatever God is trying to communicate to and with them. Every person, whether it was Ezekiel or those sitting around on the day of Pentecost, the crazy things that happened and the visions that they had would not have been received if not for an openness to God. If I was Ezekiel seeing all of these crazy visions, I would have been skeptical and confused. He not only had these visions, but then went out and told people about them. It didn't matter what people thought about him or how wild they were. His faith was strong enough that he trusted the message. He proclaimed it. He wrote it down. He used it to share what God called him to. He didn't have to understand it. Heck, some of Ezekiel is still a little unimaginable. But we trust that we will one day be able to see it come to fruition in the way God chose it. I had some very interesting comments and side eyes from clergy members and friends when I asked them about today's sermon. Beetlejuice? Really? Someone even said, flush that out. Which is quite ironic in light of the Ezekiel text. And let me say, And be very clear, I do not have the gift of prophecy. I do not think Tim Burton has the gift of prophecy. But I think God was tugging at me a little to show me just how much I should trust him, even when the thoughts and ideas seem a little wild. He was putting the idea in front of me and saying, trust me. He was showing me what Ezekiel had to do, and Joel, and Luke, and all of those who witnessed the moment of Pentecost. Just like in the reading of the Ezekiel text, when I read the text from Acts this week about the people gathered together and the tongues of fire above their heads and people speaking in languages that were not their own, all I could think of was the end of Beetlejuice. It was at that point that I tried to stay open and see where the Lord took me. The table scene toward the end of the movie kept playing over and over in my head. The hateful people that had bought the house were having a dinner party, and Beetlejuice decides to scare them and make them all sing and dance around the table. Their voices and their bodies are out of control, and they are speaking things that they don't have control over. It may be Harry Belafonte's voice singing Deo, but it's coming out of the mouths of the family and their guests. Is it a road too far from the text? Maybe. But it helped me try to visualize what it must have been like for the people that day. It helped me really try and think about how it must have felt to be there. This is one of those stories in Scripture that seem like a great story, but it's hard to picture it actually happening. So giving life to it, though through this ridiculous movie scene, is actually helpful. Think about it with fresh eyes. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared above them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one of them heard them speaking in the native language of each. Look, I was bewildered when I felt called to use this example of a crazy 1980s movie in my sermon. Others were certainly bewildered by it. But because I'm open, because I'm trusting, I was able to be shown this beautiful message and way of thinking about faith in Scripture. What is God trying to show you in a crazy way? What out-of-the-box Beetlejuice kind of tug is God putting on your heart? It may seem crazy to you and to those around you, but God is asking you to trust him with the crazy things because you trust him with the everyday things. For me personally, I'm going to try not to dismiss the things that seem outlandish anymore. I'm going to trust the God that called me into ministry and brought me to you. It may seem like a wild idea at the time. It may seem like Ezekiel had a fever dream or a crazy Tim Burton movie. But in the end, God has a bigger purpose for me and for you. We may not be able to see what it is right now, but one day we will look back and know why we were called to say Beetlejuice 3 times and sing Harry Belafonte. In the end, it really is the Joel text that Luke quotes in Acts that I'm drawn to the most. The one that gives hope and a promise of salvation amidst all of the craziness of life. Then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in these days I will pour out my spirit. I will show portents in the heaven and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. No matter how crazy the prophecies or how wild the visions, no matter if the old men dream beautiful dreams or nightmares, no matter if the darkness comes or if the moon turns to blood, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Beetlejuice was not only a movie. Beetlejuice became a Broadway musical. Beetlejuice is getting a movie sequel. Further proof that God can do amazing anything he wants with whatever crazy message he chooses. Look what dreams and visions he gave me just to be inspired for this sermon. Salvation awaits us all if we are just open to believe. Amen. As we go throughout our week, let us not dismiss the crazy things that we see before our eyes that are the call of God. Because no matter how crazy they may seem, at their heart, they are the Spirit. Let us be open to that. Because in life, in death, and life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.